You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Jesus of Nazareth is one of those rare historical figures that nearly everyone wants to claim. You might say that just as God made us in his image, people have returned the favor and now remake Jesus in our image. In the 19th and 20th centuries, it became academically popular to claim to know exactly what Jesus taught while assuming that the gospel accounts, especially the miraculous parts, were not true. An assumption that was simply taken for granted is that Jesus never claimed to be God. Though the scholarly world has largely progressed past these scholars and their so-called scholarship, Jesus is still reimagined today as something other than Christ by many people. He's embraced as a political avatar or a lifestyle coach, or a role that he was definitely ill-suited for, that of a really good teacher. Christians know that there's more to the Jesus story than all this, but how do we respond to these false claims about him? Well, a new video in the What Would You Say series tackles this question and offers three points to keep in mind. First, the scriptures clearly tell us who Jesus was and who he claimed to be.
People who reject that Jesus was God have to reject some of the things that the gospel writers claim about Jesus while accepting others. But how do we know which parts we can trust and which parts we should reject? Often, skeptics end up keeping those parts of the gospels that describe the kind of Jesus they want to accept and end up with a Jesus they've pieced together. In other words, skeptics can be guilty of what they are assuming about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not only is that inconsistent, but it ignores the fact that the gospel writers have provided a reliable account of the life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. Not only are the books full of eyewitness accounts of his life and ministry, the authors had strong incentive to rightly preserve and pass on the details they contain. To dismiss the Gospels up front and assume that they could not possibly be reliable accounts means that we are left with no real sources about his life to conclude he was even a good teacher.
Second, both the coming and the work of the Messiah were long ago foretold, with prophetic details that were incredibly fulfilled by the life of Jesus Christ.
In 700 BC, the prophet Micah predicted the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. The prophet Zechariah announced that the coming Savior would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Some psalms point to a crucifixion-like death centuries before this became a common means of execution under the Romans. Some skeptics claim that these prophecies were read back into the Old Testament by those in power in the early church. However, there are far too many details mentioned to be mere coincidence. The odds of one man's life matching so many of these predicted details would be astronomical. According to Professor Peter Stoner, the chance that any man fulfilled even 8 prophecies is 1 in 100 quadrillion.
Finally, the Gospels record the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' ministry, and one of the ways they confirm his identity as the Messiah is in recording the miracles that Jesus performed.
In addition to the miraculous prophetic detail, Jesus performed miracles during his earthly ministry that were attested to by eyewitnesses and recorded in the scripture and history. Even his enemies who denied that he was the Messiah never disputed that Jesus of Nazareth performed miracles and wonders. In fact, after the crucifixion and resurrection, Peter, in the Pentecost sermon to the crowd in Jerusalem, reminded his audience that Jesus had fed 5,000 people, had restored sight to the blind, and had raised the dead to life. Peter claimed that all these miracles were done by Jesus in your midst.
Look, Jesus didn't simply come to show us the way. He claimed to be the way, the only way to God. To see this video in our What Would You Say series and others like it, go to whatwouldyousay.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street. For more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Now, you know, we have a choice as a nation. Do we want to build upon our greatest mistakes? Or do we want to build on the tremendous successes that we've had? Because the two lead to very different places.
Your salvation and my salvation is based on grace by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel that Dr. King preached throughout his life.
The truth is, there are terrible things in our nation's past. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young sits down with Dr. Ben Carson for a very special discussion about critical race theory. Dr. Carson will examine the roots of this ideology and how it tries to keep America stuck in our past mistakes. Don't go anywhere, that's coming up. Before we get to today's message, we want to send you a special resource to equip you to live a distinctive, countercultural life for Christ in these difficult days. The Church Awake is a 12-message series from Dr. Young designed to help you stay spiritually alert and ready to take your stand for truth. We'll send you The Church Awake as our thanks for your gift to keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Created Equal.
Today my subject has to do with the critical race theory that you find in the woke world in which we live. This week, Dr. Ben Carson, most of you know who he is, probably one of the greatest neurosurgeons who's ever lived, a candidate for president, served in the cabinet, director of HUD. He was on campus because he is writing and presenting with his group a curriculum for schools that will deal with patriotism and with faith. So he was here with our head of school and others as we look at that. In the process, Dr. Carson has been a longtime personal friend of mine. He and his wife, Candy, I've been in their home. They've been in my home. So that's a prized relationship. So I knew in one of his books he had written about the critical race theory. So I brought Dr. Carson, his wife, here, and we got stood together, and before camera, I interviewed him, and I asked him to say in understandable terms what the average person would get and understand about the critical race theory. So here is that brief interview with Dr. Carson. So Dr. Carson, give us a workable, homespun definition of the critical race theory so everybody understand it.
Well, we talk about this quite a bit in our book, Created Equal. It stems from critical legal theory. And critical legal theory says that our whole legal system was set up to preserve white superiority, mm-hmm. right? White supremacy. And critical race theory is then becomes a subset of that. And it's meant to make sure that the racial hierarchy is maintained with whites on top. Mm. And it really talks about some of the pretty awful things that happened in our country. You can't deny that there were some terrible things that happened.
Absolutely.
But it then utilizes that to try to create a platform to build upon. Now, you know, we have a choice as a nation. Do we want to build upon our greatest mistakes? Or do we want to build on the tremendous successes that we've had? Because the two lead to very different places. And, you know, critical race theory would have our children in dividing themselves, you know, making white kids feel guilty because they're oppressors and all of their relatives are oppressors, making black kids and minorities feel like they're victims. And, you know, it's probably the worst thing you can do to a person is to make them think they're a victim. Because if you think you are a victim, you are one.
That's exactly right.
And that is really hurting a lot of the progress that has been made. I mean, in my lifetime, the country has changed dramatically. I mean, dramatically. I remember as a six-year-old going to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and seeing the whites and colored signs. Mm. And I remember the adults saying, make sure you observe those. Mm. You don't have to do that when you get back to Detroit. But Detroit was a whole another different type of racism. But that was as a kid. And also when I was a kid, when a black person came on television in a non-servile role, it was a big deal. Mm. You called everybody into the living room, hey, look at this. I mean, this is incredible. Now, look at today. Mm. Black generals and admirals and CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and heads of foundations, Ivy League presidents, president of the United States two times, a vice president. I mean, the list goes on and on. That's in one lifetime. Mm. So to say that we have a system that doesn't respond and doesn't change is totally inaccurate. And if we were a horrible, systemically racist place, why would people be trying to form caravans to get in here? And when they got here, wouldn't they call all their relatives and friends and say, don't come here, this is the worst place? No, that's not what's happening, is it?
But tragically, what we see today through these years is not the whole story of America and the African Americans that we brought over here as slaves. I watched a little bit of the Alabama-Texas game. I will not mention that I went to the University of Alabama. I've kept that quiet. But yesterday, by the way, most of you know I love history. I majored in history in college. My particular love was American history. But yesterday I went back and I looked at 400 years of life in America for the African American who was brought over here as slaves. I sort of knew all that, but I didn't have any concept of the length of the bigotry, the prejudice, the inhumane way Americans treated fellow human beings made in the image of God. It's called chattel slavery, as if they were animals and not human beings. So we have to remember the length of all that. I put sort of a little scale up here a little bit so you can see some of this. The Declaration of Independence, 1776. Emancipation Proclamation, 1863, when President Lincoln, by executive order, right in the middle of the Civil War, and the Civil War, you say, it was about states' rights. Yes, that was a little bit, but the major emphasis of the Civil War, I am convinced, was over slavery, the legitimacy of slavery. Because if you know your history, slaves first came over here in 1619, and I do not buy the 1619 phony history. That's not what I'm saying. But they came with the settlement of Jamestown, the Massachusetts Bay Company, and they came primarily for profit and for gold. A little later, we know about Plymouth Rock, when pilgrims came because they loved Jesus and they wanted to worship freely and independently in a new land. So a totally different ball game. But in Jamestown, the secular invasion of our country, they brought with them slaves, first slavery in our history. And then we know from that moment, listen, roughly 250 years, just hold on to that number, 250 years we treated fellow human beings made in the image of God as if they were animals, and sometimes worse than we treat our own animals. That's the truth. And I realize the length of that, and the shame of that, and the evil of that. And then we go down the timeline, Emancipation Proclamation, the Civil Rights Act passed by Congress in 1964, and there's been all the way through this something like 400 years. Dr. Martin Luther King began his public ministry in 1955, a graduate of Morehouse College. He'd earned his PhD there in Boston. And then we know he begins his public ministry after prayer, knowing that the only way for his people to be a part of the American dream. The Constitution was written by wealthy men, intelligent men, supposedly God-fearing men, but 8 out of the first 12 presidents of the United States were slave owners. They were slave owners. Now you can build all kind of anonymous, how people treat their slaves like family and all that, but it is brutality and is evil any way you look at it. And now we see Dr. King came, and through prayer he decided to bring about a revolution different from any other revolutions, except maybe when Mahatma Gandhi, through pacifism, liberated India from the British Empire through nonviolence. Dr. King took that path. It was dangerous, it was deadly, and he began through those years to do things, to say things, always in a biblical Christian context. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. And then we know the development there. He gives his famous I Have a Dream speech, 1963. The Civil Rights Act passed by Congress. And now we have, 300 years, 350 years gone through this process where there was division, there was racism. Not systemic racism, that was the heart. It was an ignorant, godless, evil racism. My complete opinion. And then when this was act from 1964 to 1968, that's when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. I submit to you that along with Billy Graham and maybe internationally Winston Churchill, Dr. Martin Luther King was the most influential individual in the 20th century by far. He saved America. He preached the gospel. He was indeed a great man. Martin Luther King speaking at Southern Methodist University 2 years before his assassination, 1966. He said, a doctrine of black supremacy is just as dangerous as a doctrine of white supremacy. God is not interested in freedom of black men or brown men or yellow men. God is interested in the freedom of the whole human race, the creation of a society where every man will respect the dignity and worth of personality. Dr. King, a couple of years before his assassination at SMU. So I submit to you that we're proud to be American. I'm proud to be American. Well, we can't overlook this disastrous history. At the same time, I want you to look at where we're going today, this outline. This is the history of wokeness. The church is to understand they are white supremacists by nature. White Christians are called to repent of their whiteness and respect their inherent white fragility. That means our defensive reaction that we're white and we're not prejudiced. White Christians are told that they're guilty in the racist sins of their forefathers. Christians are urged to read complex realities and events through the lens of racism. For example, poverty, crime rate, shootings, educational disparity. The woke people will say it's all racism. Christians are told to see capitalism as oppressive, unfair and unjust. Various kinds of socialism is the preferred system. Christians are directed to add their voice to defund the police. Now, this is the doctrine of wokeism. I want you to see the outline of where we're going today, the total outline. Number one, woke history is defined by the color of your face. All important. The color of your face, says all of those in the woke agenda. What does that mean? That means, according to those in the left part of our United States, that if you were born black or some other color, that defines who you are, and you are, listen to me carefully, automatically a racist by being white. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you believe, where you've been, you are a racist by virtue of your birth, and more than that, and this is hard to believe, there's not a thing in the world you can ever do to repent and to convince anybody anywhere because you're white that you're not a racist. There's no redemption. You can be anti-racist, but you'll never reach the goal until you're still categorized like that. A leader of Black Lives Matter said, a matter of public record, anyone who waves an American flag, by definition, whomever you are, you're a racist. Everything is tragically defined by racism. This is the woke history is defined by the color of your face. How different that is from Dr. Martin Luther King's understanding of the racial challenges we had in America then, and we progressed a great deal, as Dr. Carson has said, but we still have some ways to go, but how far that we have come. You see, he would tell us, as we know, the color of your face doesn't determine your character and who you are, and really, you'll discover, doesn't say much about you and me. Did you know that all of our physical assets, ears, nose, mouth, body, make up 0.012 of who we are? Is that any big deal about you or about me? That color is all important of your skin? Go to Korea. Fly over Korea, and I am told that you see North Korea is totally dark at night. Go at night, it almost totally dark, almost no light at all of North Korea. Go to South Korea, and there's lights everywhere. In South Korea, it's progressive, they're fluent, there's freedom, and arguably the most Christian nation on the earth. Go to North Korea, what did you find? The very opposite. You find the dictatorial leadership of a godless family. You find right is determined by might. You define a military enemy when people are starving, education is practically non-existent, and they live almost as slaves in North Korea. You say, well, the difference is the color of their skin. The melanin. Well, you go to Korea and you see a North Korean. My goodness, the color of their skin and their eyes look so much like a South Korean. Have you noticed? But one country is in darkness in every way. The other country is in light in every way. The difference is not the color of their skin. The difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. Woke history would have everything defined by the color of your face. Human history is defined by grace. The name, Martin Luther King Jr. Who was Martin Luther? Martin Luther was a revolutionary who said, we're not saved by good works, and I'm better than you, and I do more than you, and God's going to rank us up there. He said, from the passage of Ephesians 3 and many other places, your salvation and my salvation is based on grace by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel that Dr. King preached throughout his life. He said in a sermon shortly before he died that he hoped that people would know one thing about him. He genuinely loved everybody.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you recall those words from an old hymn? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That is true. We have nothing to bring to God. We know there are a lot of books about being filled, but one day I think I'll write a book on how to be emptied. When Christ wants to come and fill us, we can be so full of self, we're so narcissistic, so full of stuff and our own agenda, that there's no room left for him to fill us and put life in all of that. We have to first of all become empty so that we can be filled. And the emptying begins with brokenness. We acknowledge that we are destitute in our own ability, in what we've done or what we have or where we've been. We have to become totally broken. Then we are ready for God to come and fill us up with himself. It is a supernatural event, ladies and gentlemen. That is the first step toward having a brand new life. Empty, empty. I pray every morning that God will empty me. Every night I pray that he will empty me. I surrender to him, and then I ask him to fill me. I'll tell you, that is the genius of Christian living.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to help you stand firm for the truth of God's Word at this critical time in our culture by sending you Dr. Young's 12-message series, The Church Awake. This resource will equip you to live a distinctive, countercultural life for Christ in these difficult days. So call now to request The Church Awake as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for joining us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young continues his conversation with Dr. Ben Carson.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.
Marshall Donor AC and Appliance in Orlando reminds listeners that when properly maintained, the life expectancy for commercial and residential HVAC systems is 15 to 20 years. Without regular maintenance, that number can drop. If you're considering the DIY route to repair your unit, it could be very costly in the long run. That's why it pays to call your local trusted heating and air specialist at Marshall Donor AC and Appliance. Call 407-415-4044 for Marshall Donor AC and Appliance in Orlando.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM.
Where Jesus is all
voice
for us,
of
all
the Lord.
Believers is the opportunity to see differently, to see with new eyes.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the advantage of seeing beyond the norm.
The reason you want spiritual glasses is so that you can trump the natural order.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The same level of thinking that got us into whatever trouble we may be facing won't get us out of it. We need something more. Today, Dr. Evans talks about how we can acquire that something more. Let's join him as he begins.
Let me give you God's philosophy of history. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth, it's all in Him. God administers what He's going to do through Jesus Christ. Now, why do you need to know that? Because it is your relationship with Christ that will determine how much power you experience, not merely your belief in God. Now, we've said that many times, but I don't want you to miss this. Sure, you must believe in God, but when it comes to history, all authority has been given to Jesus Christ, and He administers. That's why we end our prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that is, I want this prayer answered by virtue of His administrative responsibility. Right now, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. The right hand side of the Father is His power location. So when the Bible talks about God's right hand, that's His power hand. Jesus is seated on the right hand side, that's His power location. That's why Jesus Christ is the administrator. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1 puts it this way, verse 2. In these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. He made the world through His administrator, Jesus Christ. So God made the world, but He did it through His administrator, Jesus Christ. That's because Jesus Christ, of course, is God. And He is the radiance of His glory. Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of His nature. All that makes God, God makes Jesus, Jesus. And upholds all things by the word of His power. God upholds all things through the word of Jesus' power. When He had met purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When the president sits in the Oval Office, he sits in a place on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., and he makes executive orders or he proposes laws that don't just affect the Oval Office, don't just affect the White House, don't just affect Washington, D.C., don't even just affect America, but it can affect and affect international relations. In other words, from that chair comes a lot of authority. From that chair comes a lot of power. From that chair comes denial or authorization. Let me tell you what comes through that chair. Here's what you need to know. Veto power. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion in every name that is named. Let me explain something. Jesus has veto power, which means the doctor's word is not the last word. The banker's word is not the last word. The teacher's word is not the last word. The boss's word is not the last word. The circumstances are not the last word. They're a word, but they're earth's word. You are connected with somebody who has veto power. He can overrule. Why? Because He sits on the right-hand side of the Father, and I love this, far above all rule and authority. Okay? Let me tell you how much rule and authority. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Here's what it says. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same. Jesus became a man. And through death, He might render powerless him who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus is in veto power over everything human. and over everything spiritual, including the devil. So even hell does not have the last word over your situation, because he's far above even the devil. He's not even close. He's far above. That means if you have eyes to see, you have connection with somebody who can say, I overrule you. That's what the courts do. You got one court that overrules another court, and the Supreme Court can overrule all them courts because they have veto power. Jesus sits on the right-hand side of the Father. So a word by a human being is not the final word. It's just a word by earth. You want to see what heaven has to say. That is, if you got glasses to look. Which means you're calling it down in prayer. Jesus has been centralizing your life, which gives you the glasses to see with spiritual eyes. He calls it, in verse 20, heavenly places. Now this is a term, this is a Pauline term. He regularly uses this phrase in the book of Ephesians, heavenly places. I won't go into all the places, but let me just show you this one in chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places. So let me define heavenly places. Heavenly places means the spiritual realm, different from the physical world. Right now we are seated in earthly places. We're seated in the physical realm, earth. But once you come to Christ, you go through a relocation process. Okay, every Christian should be functioning in two places at one time. Somebody missed that. Every Christian should always be functioning in two places at one time. God doesn't expect you to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. He doesn't expect you to be so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. He expects you to be heavenly minded for earthly help. You say, but how can I live in two places at one time? How can I do that? Well, people do that all the time. I've become a zoomologist. I'm a zoomologist. I don't know much about technology, but I can zoom a thing. Because COVID has turned me into a zoomologist. I didn't have meetings on Zoom around the world. I didn't have meetings on Zoom in other countries through this year. Well, wait a minute. I'm either sitting in my den or sitting at the church or sitting at the Urban Alternative. I am sitting in a earthly location, but I am communicating to another location, and they can see me and I can see them. So I am physically here, but I'm linked there, and I can see there even though I am here, because there is technology that allows there and here to meet. God has technology. And like the Holy Spirit, the waves are invisible, but they work. So while you are seated on earth, you're supposed to be interacting with heaven so that you know what to do on earth. But if you do not operate with that view in mind, he says you are seated with him. That means you're not just here. You're here and there. You're here physically, there spiritually. Which means he don't have to go that far to tell you something. You're seated with him. Okay? in the spiritual realm, heavenly places. But if you don't know that realm, rarely visit that realm, not in contact with that realm, he wants you thinking spiritually. You're sitting next to Jesus. And you got to picture that in your mind, because it's real, but it's spiritual. So you don't physically see it. But nevertheless, it is a reality. You've been given an all-access pass to heaven, which gives you access pass to his veto authority. That's why Romans chapter 16, verse 20 says, and he will crush Satan under your feet. My feet. Our feet.
Dr. Evans will continue with two of his favorite verses coming up shortly. Don't go away.
It's beyond a Sunday sermon. A chance to really dig into the Bible and the kingdom in a new way. Anytime and anywhere, because it's all online. The Tony Evans Training Center. In-depth courses on all kinds of topics. Cultural transformation. Intro to expository preaching. Jude, John, Hebrews, Old Testament, New Testament, and so much more. These aren't sermons. They're teaching courses to help you engage, understand Scripture, and not just to hear about, but to explore the kingdom of God on your own. Find out more at TonyEvansTraining.org. TonyEvansTraining.org.
Tony's been talking today about the incredible power of taking the Lord at His word and approaching our challenges in life from God's unerring perspective. I wanted to let you know that he's written a book that goes hand in hand with this message and his current sermon series. The book is called Kingdom Focus, Rethinking Today in Light of Eternity. And it'll help you discover the joy and power of approaching life with an outlook aligned with the Creator's. You'll learn how to fully maximize life on earth as you recognize God's love and guidance for you each day. If you contact us and make a donation to help support Tony's ministry, we'll send you both the book and the complete Developing Kingdom Vision audio series on CD or downloadable MP3s. They're yours as our gift and thanks for your support. Get all the details today at TonyEvans.org or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that contact information for you again after part two of today's message. Here's Dr. Evans.
Okay, so now he brings this home. Watch this. These are two of my favorite verses in the book of Ephesians, verse 22 and 23. And he, God, put all things in subjection under his, Jesus, feet. And he, God, put all things in subjection under his, Jesus's, feet, and gave him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, and gave him as head, he's in charge, over all things to the church. Okay, wait a minute. Jesus is over all things, but the all things he's over don't know it. Only one group knows it. He's given him as over all things, but only to the church. So the government don't know it. The businesses don't know it. Amazon don't know it. Twitter don't know it. None of them people know that Jesus is over all things, and they could care less. They don't care about Jesus being as far as they're concerned. They're over all things. Because even though he's over all things, he's not been given to the all things he's over. He's only been given the one thing, and that's the people of God. That's why, as goes the church, so goes the culture. Because he's only been given to the church. So if racism is in the church, we can't fix it in the culture. If culturalism is in the church, it can't be fixed in the culture. If oppression and justice, unrighteousness is in the church, we can't fix it in the culture, because he only has been given to the church, not to the culture at large. So we shouldn't be shocked that it's messed up out there. What should bother us is that it's messed up in here. That's what should bother us. that the church is not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It says the church, which means Christians, which is his body. Now, last time I checked, the job of a body is to carry out the dictations of the brain. The problem is the body doesn't want to do what the head says. And when the body does its own thing, here it is, when you and I do our own thing apart from Christ, we go blind. We go spiritually blind. And once you're spiritually blind, you can pray till you blue in the face. But God won't administer that because he's only administering that with Christ as the head, which means if you don't solve the Lordship of Jesus Christ, meaning he can overrule you. If you are a Christian that God can't overrule, then you are a Christian that's got cataracts and glaucoma. You won't see clearly. You will live life with a distorted view. You know, in football, they often have to check out calls because the stuff is happening so fast that, and some things are so close. So they go over and they look to see what really happened because they understand that human eyesight can be tricked, can be limited. You may not have placed the ball in the right place. You may not have seen exactly where his foot stepped. And so now they have decided they're not going to just leave it to human sight. They're going to record that thing. And when there's a question, they can throw out the red flag. And you can go and you can review that thing to see what the real deal is. And if you've ever watched football, you know many a call has been reversed or confirmed because they didn't trust their own eyes. They went to look at something that was more precise. The more we live in heaven, the more reverse calls we're going to get on earth. Because we're going to think it's some way, think it's that way, believe it's one way, but when heaven speaks into it, we're going to go, I didn't catch that. I didn't can see that. See, the reason why you want kingdom bifocals is God has already seen where you're going. He's already seen what's being thought, what's being said, what's being planned, what's being revealed. So what Jesus is offering us, all of us as believers, is the opportunity to see differently, to see with new eyes. How do you do that? Simply, you invite God's perspective into decision making. Okay? And he's got plenty of grace. He lavishes it. He wants to be utilized in this fashion. It can be financial, but not limited to that. It's relational. It's circumstantial. It's career. It's do I move here? Do I go there? He can let you know things that you would not have normally thought of. He can bring a person into your life to say something that will totally change your mind. He can bring thoughts to you because he's enlightening the heart. That's why you want to get advice from spiritual people, not earthlings. People who are in touch with God, not just people who talk noise, talk smack. The story is told in conclusion of a man who had a son that he loved. He loved his son dearly. And he was a very wealthy individual, and it was unfortunate that he passed away. He had accumulated a lot of wealth, and in that, a lot of expensive items, paintings and sculptures and many things, and they were going to be auctioned off. So they called this community-wide auction for all the expensive things that he was auctioning, the riches that he possessed. People came from all over to bid on these expensive items. The auctioneer said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we were going to begin our auction now. And the first thing we want to auction is a picture, a very crude picture, not fancy, but it was the first thing that we're auctioning of the proprietor's son. That's who we are offering first." Let me hear the first bid. Nobody bid it, because that wasn't one of the expensive items. That wasn't one of the highly desired items. It was just a crude picture of the sun. He said, are there any bids? No bids. An old gentleman in the back said, sir, if nobody will take the picture, I will. He was an older gentleman who worked for the proprietor. And he didn't want that discarded. Nobody else wanted it. He said, can I have the picture? He says, well, nobody's auctioning for it. So, yes. And he gave the elderly gentleman who worked for the proprietor the picture. The auctioneer then took the gavel and he hit it. He said, ladies and gentlemen, the auction is now over. Everybody's looking around. What? We haven't even begun. He came up with this whole picture and all the expensive stuff, the riches are still out there to be auctioned. He says, the auction is now concluded. You can imagine the pandemonium that set out millions of dollars worth of resources sitting out there. He said, I said, quiet down, the auction is over. The proprietor gave strict instructions in his will. Whoever got the sun got everything else. Whoever got the sun got access to everything else. So if you don't want the sun, you don't get access to everything else. Jesus Christ wants you to know, if you grab the sun, you have access to lavish grace, to overruling power, to his supernatural presence, because you're wearing glasses that can see the spiritual realm and be transformed by it. Jesus is the administrator.
If you're ready to see with the new eyes Dr. Evans has been talking about, you'll first need to make sure you've got a new life. To find out more, visit tonyevans.org and follow the link at the top of the page that simply says Jesus. There, Tony will tell you all about what it means to live life delivered and empowered by Christ. Again, that's tonyevans.org. And tonyevans.org is the place where you can also receive more details on that special offer I mentioned earlier. Tony's seven-lesson collection, Developing Kingdom Vision, along with the life-changing companion book, Kingdom Focus. They're both available as our gift when you make a contribution in support of the Ministry of the Alternative. It's our way of showing appreciation for the continued support of listeners like you who make this program possible each day. Get all the details and make the arrangements at tonyevans.org before time runs out. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or you can call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans says, when God's standard becomes our standard, God's power becomes our power. Be sure to join him tomorrow as he takes a look at the spiritual rights the Lord grants us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.